Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here with another in our roundtable series where it's a bit more I'm presenting at this one where I'm talking about profiling. Or in particular, the profiling I learned from Russ Allen Prince. Russ used to be a co-director of a firm we used to work with in the USA called CEG Worldwide. Russ, a prolific author, put out this high net worth psychology. I actually reckon it's worth a psychology relevant for not just the high net worth, but for anyone facing complexity. And I think this helps with a methodology to bring this consistent methodology to how we engage with our clients. Check it out. This has come up a couple of times, so I thought let's make it a session today and get you talking about it to see if this is realistic to how we actually go about profiling clients from an understanding of how they think, how they talk. And I'm not one for boxing clients in any way, shape or form. I think there's a certain approach we've got to take that has its own artwork to it in our own individual way. But it is important, I think, to understand the accent with which the clients are talking. So when you're in France, use a bit of French. In Italy, try to use a bit of Italian. And so when you're with different clients, try to use a bit of understanding. They're not all thinking like you may be thinking, or even talking like you might be talking. And so all this session is about is understanding some of your preferences. I picked this up years ago working with Russ Allen Prince and CEG Worldwide. But I want to view this because in some ways, understanding our differences about we are different to everybody, but everyone's got their own unique differences. Because I am driving towards something, again, like most things in certainty advice, it can be consistent, can be specific, and can be in some replicatable in how we do stuff. And so understanding differences comes from this book, Russ Allen Prince. And he has what he calls four personality questions. If you've been working with us for some time, these are all in conversation eight. So these are all in conversation eight of the Discovery 9 conversations, but they've been hidden in some ways or they've been asterisked. But these are all crucial questions which are asked in your own way, but consistently by the team, very much so right up front and then consistently through the year. It is called high net worth psychology. And there's a bit of a conversation. Is it relevant for everybody? I've taken it out of high net worth because I think it's for anyone with complexity. This was back in the American days and probably still is to a certain extent where they chase the money as compared to the complexity. That's their game. But I think it's relevant to us. The first question is this one. What would you like to achieve with your money? I'm a fan again for asking this each year. So this identifies two particular types and certain languages, and it really tries to identify the context of these people. So the first and most prominent type that Russ Allen Prince found is what he called the family steward, 21% of people are family steward. So if you answer this question, what would you like to achieve with your money? The family steward would say family protection, family care, family development. And so their first instinct, it's like when you push someone in the back, which foot goes out first, their first instinct with this sort of question is around family. And so that means the response being family-based, the value we do, the complexity we seek, the path we put them on for these sort of people, their language, their primary language is about family.
And I think that's a good point. There's certainly a lot of people in my experience dealing with wealth accumulators, you know, they're paying private school fees and those sorts of things. It's all about family.
Yeah, all about family. And so, and the point is, it's not so much that your goals are going to be aspiration, but your complexity is going to be family-based as well. And then your language with them is about family. Your catch-up is about family. The second type of conversation that comes from this question, what would you like to achieve with your money, is what they call the independent. 13% of people are independent. So their primary response is about personal freedom, independence. And so what would you like to achieve with money? It just gives me options. It gives me independence. It gives me freedom, allow me to do things, to chase my aspirations. Some of those aspirations may include family, but their primary response is money just gives me options. So the real context is in our conversation with them, we're putting them on paths to achieve the independence we want.
I was just thinking that I guess as people age in life that they potentially could move from one to another.
I think people change. It's again, it's not about boxing people. It's just helping with triggers that when you say, what would you like to achieve with your money? when it, you hear a response about it gives me options, gives me independence, gives me freedom, you're probably talking to an independent. The second type of question is, when you think about money, what concerns, needs, or feelings come to mind? This identifies three different types. First type is what Russ Allen Prince called the accumulators. They want to accumulate money. They want to accumulate investments. They want to accumulate their superannuation. They want to accumulate properties. They want to accumulate anything to them as a financial resource. And they've got more ideas about what they want to accumulate than they have about ideas about aspirations to spend it. So their context is always growth. So we're talking to them about the growth we want to make sure they're on, the growth path they're going to achieve. The second type that this question identifies is the mogul. Russ Allen Prince calls it mogul, but it's really a desire to stay in control. And so when you think about money, what concerns, needs, or feelings come to mind, money allows me to stay in control or to be in control, particularly those patriarchs, matriarchs of family groups or those in big property groups or businesses. Money enables me to stay in control. So the language, again, used with these sort of people, twisting this into their language, is that we want to make sure we can help you make smart decisions to stay in control.
I think the certainty questions, I usually highlight a few of those for clients to fill out. And I think it's memorizing which client answers which response and putting it somewhere of note, maybe on your map or whatnot, to ensure that your conversation is directed around that.
The third type that this question brings up when you think about money, what needs, control, feelings come to mind, is what Russ Allen Prince called the VIPs. And so this is primary motivator, is the lifestyle it enables them to achieve or to enjoy. I've worked hard to achieve this, this, or this. And so they're talking more about if the VIP is probably not the right term, but more of this lifestyle focus. If the response is driven by a strong need to attain a certain level of status or ownership or property from all the hard work that they've done, and their context is status. You know, we want to make sure that you're getting the returns you deserve for all the work, hard work you've been doing.
I think that would be very difficult to deal with as clients.
But as long as you understand it, and I think it's simply just getting that latest and greatest or whatever it might be, but it's a recognition for effort that they, you know, in my own opinion, they deserve, and that's fine. Let's make sure we help them with that approach. The next question identifies three more different types. How involved would you like to be with the management of your finances? And this is the second biggest, according to Russ Allen Prince, what he calls the phobics. How involved would you like to be? I don't want to be involved. You know, I just want to avoid all the financial worries and that money gives me. I'm not good with money. I'm not comfortable with money. I never have been comfortable with money. And so the response is driven by a strong burden sometimes about money matters. And the context is this fear management. We'll manage it for you. Fundamental to that is obviously having a trusted relationship. So the fundamental of this is not so much performance, but just ensuring they're on their best possible path, that you're fundamentally trustworthy. And you help them avoid the complexities. And particularly, that's why certainty advice works so well for phobics, because we take the complexities out of your life, because it really quite burdens these sort of people.
They can be challenging too, because they're the sort of types that don't want to understand their investments. They just say, no, we trust you. And that's dangerous, because if they don't fully understand what they invest in, they become problematic during a downturn.
So how involved do you want to be with your finances? It also identifies the gambler. They love money. It's an enjoyment. They like tinkering on the weekend like someone does with a car or a game of golf. They're excited by the opportunities that money provides and the new things that can be done with money. So it's almost finances as a hobby to these people, and they love it so much. They want to be involved with it. They may not be working in it, but they just love the excitement that it gives with them. And so their context is, it's a hobby. I want to really get into it. They like dealing with people, advisors that are excited by it as they are. And so they tend to take a bit of risk by the very nature of the gambler, but let's make sure we're not gambling away all their total resources. And the third type for this particular question, how involved you'd like to become in your finances, is what they call the innovator, a small number, 6%. These people like the intellectual challenge of money, want to get into the technical understanding about money. They're quite sophisticated with their money. And so they want to have a context of a robust, trend-setting financial management approach. And the last one, which I'll touch on this, so the ninth of these from Russ Allen Prince is identified by this question. And this question, again, all the questions are asked to every client, but this question really stands out for the ninth. How important is the confidentiality of your financial affairs? The obvious answer is, yeah, it's important. But the not-so-obvious response from an anonymous is, nothing is more important. Nothing is more important than this. When we've seen discovery conversations when two anonymous have been married and they don't even know how much each other earns. And whilst the question is asked to all clients and expected a good response, these people, these 12%, it really, really jumps out for. But the whole idea of today was to get this conversation going about These all, the stewards, the phobics, the independents, the anonymous, the moguls, the VIPs, the accumulators, the gamblers, the innovators, is really just another piece of the equipment to help us get this consistent methodology. I think client profiling needs to go beyond just what we believe might be there, the artwork. And I think trying to bring some of these elements into it that was introduced by Russ, I don't think it's a bad idea in terms of making it a bit more a part of your approach. And if you're going through this and thinking, what's the approach? How does it change? It doesn't really change that much. But just like, as I said before, when you're in France, use some French. If you think this person is really driven by the family steward, if you think this person is really driven by the confidentiality, if you think it's really driven, use a bit more of that tech language in your emails, in your letters, in your casual conversations with them. You have them earmarked. And again, but I think as Nick was saying right at the beginning, people can still change. Well, there you have it. What do you think? There's financial personalities. Again, not to box people in, but just understand the accent that we might use when we're engaging with clients, that one of their primary focuses, the context for an accumulator, for instance, is growth. The context for a family steward is family. A context for moguls is just being in control. They're not good, they're not bad. It's simply just a way of ensuring that you're in sync with your client and recognizing that they've all got slightly different approaches. And as Nick Gingell said, people can also change as well. But building this consistent methodology to really engage quickly and be on the client's wavelength, so as to speak, it's not about being slick and smart and anticipating what these things might be. It's simply just being trying to be helpful and methodical to ensure we're engaging with the client in a methodology that is familiar to them, it comes natural to them. And that's what these personalities, I think, believe can help the firm endear yourself to those clients that you have. It's not about, I think, trying to sell anyone anything because of consequences. It's simply try to engage with the client to develop these enduring relationships on things and conversations that they align with. Anyway, I'd love to get your feedback on this stuff or anything, in fact, or any other change you'd like to make along these sort of lines. I'd like to hear from you too. Take care. Jim Stackpole signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.